こんにちは。
こんにちは。
バイリンガルニュースでは日本語と英語でニュースを紹介しています。その後にマイケルは英語で、私は日本語でバイリンガル会話形式でコメントしていきます。文字起こしのテキストや各エピソードごとの宿題は、バイリンガルニュース公式アプリからゲットできますので試してみてください。1個目、これまでティラノサウルスのように陸で生活していたと考えられていたスピノサウルスですが、ネイチャーに掲載された研究でワニのように縦に平たい尻尾の化石がモロッコで初めて発見されました。陸で暮らしながらも餌を取るために泳ぐことができた半水生の恐竜が確認されるのは初めてのことです。スピノサウルスは肉食恐竜の中で最大の全長15メートル、重さ7トン程度で、これまで尻尾の化石が見つかっていなかったため、他の恐竜のように先が細い尻尾だったのではと考えられてきました。研究を率いたニザール・イブラヒム氏は2014年のコンピュータモデルを使った研究でスピノサウルスは泳げたのではという仮説を提唱し、他の研究者たちから懐疑的な声が上がっていましたが、今回の発見で仮説がさらに強化されました。
In a study published in NatureResearchers detailed the discovery of fossils indicating that Spinosaurus, which was thought to live on land, much like Tyrannosaurus rex, had a long flat tail like an alligator. While it was known that Spinosaurus was a large carnivorous dinosaur, 15 meters long and weighing 7 tons, in the absence of a tail fossil, it had been assumed that it had a thin tail like most other dinosaurs. Study author Nizar Ibrahim,ran some computer models and suggested that Spinosaurus was a swimming dinosaur in 2014. However, it was met with skepticism. This recent finding strengthens his hypothesis.
そう、スピノサウルスといえばジュラシックパーク3で皆さん覚えてると思うんだけど、あのティラノサウルスの首をへし折るっていうとんでもないシーンがあったんだけど、覚えてる？
3どれだっけ
なんかね、森みたいなとこでこうみんながわーって逃げてたら、ティラノサウルスがわーって出てきて、絶対絶命と思ったら横からスピノサウルスが出てきて、こうスピノサウルス 対 T-Rex の壮絶な戦いのシーンがあるんだけど、あのその時はやっぱりスピノサウルスもティラノサウルスみたいな感じで二足歩行、であの尻尾も、まあ、T-Rex と同じように先が細くなってると思ってたので、まあ、そういう風な描かれ方をしてるんだけども、実はそうじゃなくてもうちょっとワニみたいな四つ足で、で尻尾も縦に平たいっていうのが分かったっていう話なんだけど、これナショナルジオグラフィックの記事になっていて、それがめちゃくちゃ面白いの。ちょっとその話していい？
I saw the pictures. There's some really nice pictures.
そう、2014年の時点ではもうちょっとワニみたいな感じで、あの水面に浮いてるあのグラフィックを、まあ、このチームが作ってたんだけど、今回は動画が出ていて、もっとがっつり水中を泳いでる様子。なんか来た。
What is it?
I have no idea.I hope it's something exciting. Okay. あのね、ナショジオの記事を読んでたらすごい面白くて、この話。スピノサウルスってストローマーっていう人が1910年代に初めて見つけた恐竜らしくて、それをミュンヘンで骨が保管されてたのね、博物館に。でそれってちょうどあの戦争の前だったから、ストローマーはこうナチスとかも、まあ、戦争とかであの博物館が攻撃されて骨が壊れちゃうと大変だから、お願いだから骨をどっかに移してくれってお願いしてたんだって、だけどストローマーは反ナチスで、その博物館はもう館長が超ナチスの人だったから気に入られてなくて、全然聞き入れてもらえず、あのまあ、爆撃によって唯一存在していたスピノサウルスの骨が全部燃えてなくなってしまったんだよね。で、あのストローマーが記録に残していたその文章だとか写真だけが残ってたと。 でそれに魅了された今回 の, そのイブラヒムさんはずっとそのスピノサウルスの謎を解き明かしたいなっていうふうに思っていて、で2008年にモロッコにいた時にとある全然名前も分かんないベドウィンの男性がこう段ボールにいろいろなんかガラクタみたいなのが入ってる中にこう、あ、こん な, なんか恐竜の骨みたいなのあるけどいるみたいな、
うん、
で本物かどうか分かんないけどとりあえずじゃあ買いますって言って買ったらしいのね。でしばらくして、うん、イタリアの仲間からこんな恐竜の骨買ってきたんだけどどうかなって見せられたやつが自分がベドウィングの人から買ったやつと同じ色の岩に埋まってたわけで、イタリアの仲間から見せられたやつは、うん、どっからどう見てもスピノサウルスのものだったからもしかして自分が買ったやつもスピノサウルスなんじゃないかと。でじゃあどこに埋まってたのかをあの時会ったベドウィンのおじさんに聞こうってことになったんだけど名前も分かんないし連絡先も分かんないし顔もあんま覚えてないし、うん、ただそのおじさんがヒゲが生えてて白い服着てたっていうことしか覚えてないでまたモロッコに戻ってそのおじさんをずっと捜索してたんだけどもちろん見つからず、ああもう諦めるしかないかってカフェでうなだれてたらパッと通行人と目が合ってそれがそのベドウィンのおじさんだったんだってであの時のってなってその人に聞いたらまさに自分に言った後にもっとあの同じ場所から骨を見つけてイタリアの人たちに売ったっていう話をしてくれて、うん、じゃあそれどこであの掘ったんですかっていうのを場所を教えてもらってそっからこの尻尾が出てきたっていうすごい話でしょ、
wow. I mean, we just barely got it, right? We almost didn't have the 尻尾.
そうなの。で、もともとこう、スピノサウルスはやっぱり他の恐竜と違くて、ワニみたいな歯で、顎がすごく細長い。で、鼻が目に近い高さの、うん、上向きについているから、確かにティラノサウルスみたいだったっていうには、うん、かなり特殊な、何かしらに特化してるとしか思えない姿形をしている。で、後ろ足のつき方とか体の形もこうなんだ 丸太みたいというかさバレルみたいって書いてあったけどだからイルカみたいな感じ、うん、胴長でさ、
うん、
で
Do they I was going to ask Do they think So are they saying that it was comfortable on land and in the ocean or mostly just the ocean?
なんか前まではその2014年の段階では尻尾が見つかってなかったからその鳥みたいな感じでなんだろう水面にいる魚をバシャッと取ってまた陸に戻るみたいなのを想定してたらしいんだけど、うん、今回尻尾があまりにも泳ぐようにできてるのでもっと長い間水の中で暮らしてたんじゃないかっていうだから大半を水の中で過ごして、うん、でも陸でも暮らすことはできるっていうでこれは骨が残ってないからまだ分からないんだけどもしかしたら水かきがついてたかもしれないっていう話をしてた、
うん、
で川で魚を取ってたはずっていうでこの時代だから魚も魚って言っても今私たちが思う魚のサイズではないわけじゃんもう巨大な、うん、だからこれぐらい大きい恐竜でもちゃんとお腹いっぱいになるぐらいのサイズ感の魚はいっぱい川に泳いでいたはずでそういうものを取って食べてたんじゃないのっていう、
hmm. And this is the only dinosaur that we've confirmed swims like this?
Yeah, そのネッシーみたいなさいわゆるこう海の中でずっと暮らしてる恐竜っていうのは見つかってるけどその水陸両用みたいなあのどっちでも暮らせるっていうのは初めてらしい、
hmm. So Spinosaurus must have that shoulder structure that distinguishes between like dimetrodons and dinosaurs. You know, like there are a bunch of crocodile-like creatures that were around at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But the distinction, the way they differentiate dinosaur and not dinosaur is, I think, partly how the legs are attached, if that makes sense.
Right. そうだから ワニではないんだよね。なんかワニみたいな形の恐竜っていう、
うん、
あの動画を見るとねすごく面白いんだけど、ま、このチームはすごい最新のテクノロジーをめっちゃいろいろ駆使してて 3D プリンターとかも使ってるし、あのコンピューターモデルを使って実際に、うん、あのどういう動きをしてたのか、その骨格から考えてこういうふうに泳いでたんじゃないかなとかっていう、だから私たちがね子供の時はもうちょっとこう想像の幅、その絵とか動画が出た時にどれぐらいの割合がただの想像なのかっていうのがあったと思うんだけど、うん、それは多分どんどんどんどん狭まってるんじゃないかなと思う。
Do you know what spino means? The spin?
Mm-mm.
Spinosaurus?
No.
Hmm. It's not like... spine no spin かなと思う。
Ah, maybe. あのね。
Does it have a fancy spine?
Ah, でもそう、最初に... Ah, no, I forget. There was... でもそう、なんかスパインの話出てきた気がする。Anyway, そのナショジオのね記事すごい細かくて面白いから、あの、
うん、
後でツイッターかなんかにシェアするけど、まあ英語だけどそんなにすごい難しいわけでもないので、興味ある人は読んでみるといいかもしれない。
So I looked it up and Spinosaurus does mean spine lizard.
うん。
So spino is from spine, or spine is from spin.
まあ、こんなのが川を泳いでたら怖いけど
あの It has a crazy looking spine on it, doesn't it? It has a fin.
あ、そうそうそう、 kind of like, ヒレ、うん、大きいヒレみたいなのがついてる背中に、
うん、あの And do they know what that's for? Like, what does that do?
It didn't say anything as far as I remember.
As that's been debated for a long time, right? Like, what do those、
うん、
spines on the back do?
うん、
Is it? It could almost be like a dorsal fin, right? If it was swimming in the water.
Oh yeah, they were actually calling it dorsal fin.
Well, it's in the dorsal position, but it could like function, kind of like the fin on a shark.
Yeah, I guess right? It's possible
if it's swimming.
Hmm. そうね。まああとはなんだろう、オスメスで。サイズが違ったとか見た目が違ったとかもあったかもしれないし、あの、うん、ちょうど今週そういう論文も出てたんだよね。で、恐竜のオスメスを見分ける方法っていうのが、まあ、化石だけを使うと思っているよりも難しいねみたいな話、うん、あの普通は多分あれなんて言うんだっけ、名前忘れちゃったけど、その卵を産んだ時にできるなんかオーガンみたいなのがあって、それが骨の中に見えるみたいなさ、
うん、
なんかちょっと言葉忘れちゃったからあれなんだけど、なんかそれがあったらメスっていうのは言えるっていうのを見たことあったけど、うん、やっぱりねちょっと恐竜の話面白いし、そのジュラシックパークに出てきた恐竜たちがどんどんアップデートされていくっていうのも感慨深いよね、うん、あのラプターとか一番いい例だと思うけど、
I feel sad thinking about like Brontosaurus or Triceratops. Like Triceratops was a confused thing that isn't what we thought it was, right?
Yeah.
And Brontosaurus was like I don't remember the exact story, but they said Brontosaurus doesn't exist. It's actually Brachiosaurus, like Brachiosaurus exists, but yeah. not Brontosaurus. But Brontosaurus was like the most loved, like, you know, the whole Littlefoot cartoon was a friggin' Brontosaurus.
そうだね。
But it's, yeah, so many of the popular ideas that childhood ideas about dinosaurs get kind of destroyed. Like now they have feathers.
Yeah, they have feathers and...
I don't know how I feel about it.
I guess raptor was the most shocking to me. How small they actually were.
There was research sometime this month or last month suggesting that raptors did not have pack hunting. They didn't hunt in groups.
What?
And they were like solo scavengers or something.
No.
And they didn't cooperate with each other. This is like some new paper. I don't know if
but
it's like, credible
but why,
or what
why,
people think. But
why did they think that they were pack hunting to begin with?
I think part of it is that birds are descended from raptors. So we infer a lot of bird behavior as raptor behavior. So in movies, when you see raptors moving around and, you know, they turn their head really fast and they're kind of bird-like.
Have you seen Jurassic World? Where Chris Pratt actually trains a lot of raptors and...
I think I did see that one.
They're his pets.
And isn't there some hybrid raptor or something?
Yeah, and he can kind of communicate with them and they're like best friends. But
what is it a hybrid of?
I forget, but they were also gene editing and I don't remember the details because the story actually doesn't really matter, right? But no offense. 次.
I like the story of the first Jurassic Park. It was a beautiful story.
Yeah, I know.
It was like moving.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, the future is going to be so crazy.
And rich people are crazy too. That's the whole
point
of the story.
Yeah, we just need, Bezos to get an island.
Yeah.
A dinosaur island going.
Yeah. And kids are going to be put in danger.
Do you think people would support it if some billionaire like Bezos announced that he was going to make Jurassic Park? Do you think people would let him do it, or what do you think would happen? Would there be protests like globally?
I don't know.
Are you for it or are you against it? Are you going to be the person who's like, don't make Jurassic Park? We don't want to hurt that.
I want to go. I want to go
right.
as a tourist.
What are the arguments against it? Animal cruelty, obviously.
Well, like don't play God. Yeah. I guess.
Well, doesn't that cover everyone though? Between animal cruelty and don't play God, I think a lot of people would be against it then. But you're for it.
It's just my curiosity. My curiosity is just too big. I want to see dinosaurs. That's going to be fun. But then again, I'm not really thinking about any, serious consequences because of this.
Weird
diseases or ecosystem, getting fucked up and all kinds of stuff.
What about just on Mars? It's like you can bring dinosaurs back,
Why would you want to do that?
I don't know. You're genetically engineering them so you can make it so the dinosaurs can, they don't need as much oxygen or something. And you just start with like the little cute dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And you make Mars like a little dinosaur planet.
Yeah, that sounds dreamy.
And then people get eaten by dinosaurs, but we just kind of accept that Mars is ruthless.
That'd
make it harder to colonize.
Yeah. わざわざ ハードルを上げる
It would be really cool though.
次、アメリカ最大の映画館チェーン AMC が今後ユニバーサル作品は上映しないと声明を出し話題となっています。ことの発端は新型コロナの影響で映画館が休業していることを受け、ユニバーサルが新作映画トロールの続編をデジタル配信したことでした。公開3週間で1億ドル以上の売り上げを記録し、前作の1億5000万ドルには達していないものの、映画館よりデジタル配信の方がスタジオの取り分が多いため、ユニバーサルが得る利益は2作品で同程度となりました。これを受けユニバーサルの CEO はメディアに対し、新型コロナが収束した後も映画館とデジタルで新作映画を同時配信していく可能性を示唆しましたが、映画館チェーンや映画館組合はこれに強く反発しています。
American movie theater chain AMC has announced that they will not be showing Universal Pictures movies anymore, sparking discussion online. Movie theaters being closed during the coronavirus outbreak led Universal Pictures to premiere their film Troll sequel digitally to consumers online. Within 3 weeks, sales exceeded $100 million, and while this is short of their original Troll movie release of $150 million, because the theaters usually take a significant portion, the film was more profitable than the first one. This convinced the Universal CEO to consider releasing future films online at the same time they are released in theaters, even after the pandemic. However, the movie theater industry is opposed to this idea.
Yeah, so... だいたい映画館で映画を見せるってなるとスタジオの取り分が 50% ぐらいらしいんだけど、うん、デジタル配信だと 80% ぐらいだから、まあ、デジタル配信の方が取り分が普通に多いと、
うん、
ただ今も大ヒットしそうなブロックバスター映画はデジタル配信せずに、まあ、どこの会社も日程をずらしてうん、まあコロナが収束してからみんなに映画館で見てもらいましょうっていう感じにしてるのが多いんだけど、まあ、それ以外の、まあ、そこまで大ヒットしそうでもないかなみたいなやつは映画館でやらずにもう最初からデジタル配信しちゃえっていう感じにしてるんだよね。で、うん、このトロールの続編は最初から19.9 ドルとかレンタルってなので結構高いんだけど、う
ん、オンライン？
いやでも、うん、映画館がやってないから、まあ、みんなこれを払わないと見られないということで、まあ、すごく売り上げが良かったっていう話、
うん、
だから、まあ、映画館が開けば例えば映画館でもやってるしデジタル配信でもやってる場合わざわざ家で19ドル払って見る人がどこまでいるかっていうのは分からないけどもただそれがゼロではない限り、うん、まあこのユニバーサルとかスタジオ側からすると同時に公開するっていうのもありなのかなみたいな話。
What's the region situation? Do they have region restrictions for the onlineShowing or?
Ah, どうなんだろう? I don't know. I didn't check.
Because that's infuriating. Obviously.
そうね。
But I feel like it'll probably take another 50 years, but eventually, the movie industry will figure out what it is that people actually want,、
mm.
which is just release the movie online. You can have a fancy premiere thing online if you want to.But get the whole world at happening at the same time. If you get the whole world in sync, you know, talking about your movie and about, you know, sharing it and stuff, I think it's way more, there's so much upside there rather than waiting, you know, 4, 5, 6 months to release it in some other region.
Yeah.あとやっぱり、まあ、今映画館がどこもやってないからみんな一律で同じように映画館で見られないっていう状況になってるけども例えば元からこう映画大好きなんだけど、まあ、入院してるとか長期で入院してて映画館にどうしても行けないとか、うんまあ、いろんな事情があって、ね、映画館に足を運ぶことができないってなっちゃうとオンラインでリリースされるまでの間、まあ、何ヶ月も待たないといけないっていう人もいるだろうし
うん、
そういうことも考えると映画館にとっては良くないかもしれないけどデジタル配信してくれるとありがたいっていう人はいっぱいいるだろうなと思うけど
Do you think Universal and AMC are kind of competitors?
I'm sure movie theaters are feeling threatened AMC... right? I mean, it's like 家で見るクオリ例えばテレビもどんどん大きくなってるし大きいテレビどんどん安くなってるしそのハイデフィニションで画質もすごいいいしとか、
mm-hmm.
でまあコロナでこんなことになってるし逆にこう家でもいいかみたいな人が増えてきちゃうと映画館は困るよねそりゃ
I hope they bring down their prices. They're just showing you a freaking... It doesn't cost them anything to show... Well, it's not like it doesn't cost anything, but it shouldn't cost $60 a person just because, you know, you want a churro and, like, some popcorn. It's crazy expensive right now.
Well, we've established in the past that you're eating way too much stuff in the movie theater.
Yeah,
so,
well...
Yeah,
it's still...
I don't think most people are paying $60, but But yeah, I mean, it is pretty expensive.
Mm. So AMC is owned by Wanda Group. You know Wanda Group?
Mm-mm, no.
So Wanda Group is a Chinese company that's probably worth, I don't know, $30 billion or something, okay. Maybe more. A Wanda Group owns a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that Wanda Group owns is Legendary Entertainment. Obviously, Legendary Entertainment and Universal are competitors, right? Mm. So and Legendary is like the last Batman movie or some... They make some big movies. And Universal obviously makes some big movies. So they're kind of competitors, right? Wanda Group and...
Right. Interesting.
And Universal. Hmm. Universal is owned by Comcast, which is universally recognized as the worst company on earth. And Comcast also owns like MSNBC News and it. So what's happening isn't always just sort of what it looks like on the surface. Hmm. It is possible that Universal has, or Comcast has, some reasons to cut business or make competitive moves against Wanda Group.
Hmm. Interesting. So, 映画館自体は好きだからなくなってほしくないなと思うし、サポートしたい気持ちはあるけど、でも同時配信してくれて、こう家でも見れるっていうオプションがあったら、それはそれですごく助かるよね。
Wouldn't it be more fun if they really hyped up a movie? They did all the promotion and everything like that, but it was like you can watch it on YouTube or Amazon or whatever at a certain time, so everyone watches it at the same time. You know, they do the premiere online, right? Live. Mm-hmm. Oh, and so everyone so watches the movie together, and everyone's tweeting while they're watching the movie. Everyone's, you know, engaging with the movie as it's happening. No one's seen it yet. Everyone's watching it at the exact same time, right? And that would generate way more excitement than the way they do it.
それ困るじゃん。If everyone's live tweeting, then もうスポイラーまみれやん。その時間で見れなかったらもう終わりじゃん。
Right, but they don't care because that only makes more people have to watch the premiere, which is when it's the most expensive.
Yeah, well that's
if you don't watch the premiere, the movie happens once. The whole world's watching the movie.
That really if you don't sucks watch for the movie, all the busy people.
Yeah, well I don't really like live stuff for that reason, because I like doing things on my own schedule. But I enjoy the UFC live. That's a huge amount of fun. Kanye, when he released his Jesus album, which album was it? Ye. Was it called Ye? But he released this album. It was super hyped, but everyone listened to it at the exact same time. Right? Yeah. On the internet. And that was a huge success. So this idea of everyone of premiering something that way, I mean, I think it could work. But only if they get rid of the region stuff.
Yeah, I guess TV shows are already kind of like that with like Game of Thrones or Walking Dead, mm-hmm. or whatever. Everyone's watching it almost around
and you
the
have
same
to stay
time.
Off, and you have to stay off Twitter, right? Until,
yeah,
like... For a while.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So now.
Yeah.
Have you been watching any movies?
No. I only watched that UFC event recently, which was really controversial and really interesting because of all the corona stuff and there was no audience at all. So it's just the fighters. So there's no crowd cheering or booing or...
So that's
it's
like
really weird.
That's like when they fight in Japan.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds similar.
Yeah.
But there's not even like, so they do the interview after their fight, and there's not even people.
そっかそっか.
There's nothing.
そっか。それちょっと寂しい.
And Rogan's like, you know, here's the fighter, everyone, and he like turns to the audience, and he's like, oh, there's no one here, like.
Oh, so he was physically there too?
He was physically there.
Ah, so
they tested everyone. One guy tested positive. Jacare Souza, a fighter from Brazil.
So he couldn't fight? But,
He couldn't fight. He had a fight with someone named Uriah Hall, and that fight was pulled. But it seems like that one person tested positive. They were suspecting that they could be positive before that, so they had everyone distancing from them. And there were no secondary infections or anything like that afterwards. So seems like they handled it pretty well.
そっか。まあ、勝った後にシーンとしてるのは確かにちょっと寂しいかもしれないけど、ただ、ね、戦えないっていうよりかは全然いいよね。お金とか。
But you'd think like, you know, there's no audience. How is this going to work? You know, or we're renting out this arena. But I think it was a huge success. They probably made more money than usual too. There's also less stuff to watch right now. So anyone that's putting stuff up right now is, I think, getting more attention too. Especially in sports. There's no sports happening, right? Other than MMA and maybe, I don't know. Are they doing any other sports? Do you know?
Nope. I have no
Neither
idea.
Of us really follow sports.
Yeah, we're... そうだね。全然考えてもなかったもん、私。
Sports?
Yeah.
They were showing a lot of, like, kids who play baseball, and they're, like, sad that they can't play baseball.
Yeah, I wasn't really paying attention to any of that. I saw a zombie movie that someone was recommending on Twitter, but...
Oh, what was it? Was it good?
Kind of. I mean, it was Lupita Nyong'o のやつ. And I love her, so...
So it was kind of good.
Yeah, the premise was kind of interesting. She's a daycare teacher, and zombie outbreak starts when she's on a field trip with a bunch of kids. And she doesn't want to scare the kids, so she's kind of telling the kids that they're not zombies and it's just a game and they're just pretending or something like that. So that was interesting, but then なんかちょっとハリウッドっぽい、なんて言うんだろうね、無理やり恋愛要素をねじ込んでくるみたいな感じがあんまり嫌だった自分は。途中までは良かった。
Did you hear that Twitter is going to have people just work from home?
They were not, like, until now?
Well, I mean, like, after the...
Oh, okay. Oh, that's cool.
After coronavirus is over, I think Jack Dorsey was like, yeah, I don't know if we need offices or something like that. A few companies have done similar things like that. I know there was another large company that did that.
そっか。
I can't remember what it was called, but there are a huge number of there's a huge number of adjustments being made that I think will stay that way after all of this, and in a positive sense, you know. It's kind of a catalyst for people to realize where things were inefficient, or...
I see a lot of people wondering about the expenses. Like, I'm a freelance, so this was never this was never relevant to me, but 例えば、インターネットの回線とか、まあ、ペンとか紙とか、今までオフィスで手に入れてたもの、まあ、供給されてたものは、まあ、家で働くってなるとじゃあもう自腹ってことになっちゃうから、それはこれからどうなっていくんだろうみたいな。
No, I mean, I think generally speaking, if it's reasonably for work use, it can be expensed, even if you're working from home. But yeah, you would have to, I mean, the financial controller or whoever at your company would have to authorize that.
Yeah, of course, but 今までってそのフローがまずないからさ、 いや、オフィスから持ってってって感じだったわけだから、その分ちょっと仕事が増えちゃう人もいるのかもしれないけど、でもまあね。I'm really hoping that my husband's going to be able to. I mean, he's working from home like every day now. I'm hoping that he can. Maybe he will. He's saying that he would have to go maybe twice or three times a week at least. But I'm hoping that, you know, at least some days a week he can work from home, because clearly my son is bonding with him way more than ever. Like, I can see the difference. 完全に. So, I love it.
I think it's likely. I mean, I think it'll be a new standard for companies. And people want flexibility. And if a company can figure out a way to offer that flexibility without impacting the efficiency or effectiveness of work... then, you know, that company becomes more attractive. It has the same effect as paying a higher salary.
Yeah, for sure. You know? For sure.
In some cases, it would have more of an impact than a higher salary, because sometimes you just, that time, it just can't be bought, you know, so for some, in some cases.
次.
According to a paper published in Nature Communications by researchers at the University of Pennsylvania, human brains are finely tuned to maximize accuracy and minimize computational complexity while constructing abstract models of the world, optimizing us for pattern recognition. In their experiment, 360 subjects were shown a screen with 5 gray squares and asked to press corresponding keys on a keyboard when the squares change color. Unbeknownst to the subjects, the sequences of color changing were generated by 2 networks, a modular network and a lattice network. The researchers found that subjects were quicker to respond to prompts generated by the modular network, suggesting greater anticipation of the pattern. Study author Christopher Lin stated the following: If you look at a pointillist painting up close, you can correctly identify every dot. If you step back 20 feet, the details get fuzzy, but you'll gain a better sense of the overall structure.
Nature Communications に掲載されたペンシルバニア大学の研究で、人の脳はパターン認識を最適化するため、正確性を最大限にし、計算複雑性を最小にするようチューニングされていることが分かりました。実験では360人の被験者に、スクリーン上で5つの灰色の四角を見せ、四角の色が変わるごとに指定されたボタンを押させました。色の変化の順番はモジュラーネットワークと格子ネットワークのいずれかが決定し、そのことは被験者には知らせませんでした。被験者はモジュラーネットワークが順番を決めたときにより早く反応しており、パターンを認識して予測していたことがわかります。研究を率いたクリストファー・リン氏は以下のように述べています。点描画を近くで見ると、それぞれの点を正確に識別できます。20フィート下がると、細かい部分はぼやけますが、全体の構造はよりよく見えてきますよね。
Lattice
network and modular network, 何?
Oh, those are pretty abstract concepts. What they were trying to do is just compare two different patterns. So modular and lattice is just describing the pattern.
Okay.
And what they were trying to see is if we can recognize these patterns and whether our responses to them are different. And the idea is that if you have greater anticipation of the pattern, in other words, the color change is closer to what you would expect it to be, then your response in the test will be faster. So you don't even know you have this anticipation. But when they show the color change, your response will be faster if you have greater anticipation. And so they were showing the two network types, the two patterns, in order to get users to differentiate them subconsciously. Or, I guess, take behaviors that would allow the researchers to infer that they were differentiated. So the idea here is that We are pattern recognition machines.
Right.
And that we are constantly weighing complexity, which is accuracy, right? With simplicity. So we want to be accurate because we want to make correct predictions about the world. But we have limited resources. It's just the way it is. So we try to make it as simple as possible.
So,
is this making
sense? So this was all subconscious, right? To the subjects, they were not aware that there were two versions.
Yeah. Well, they're not aware of what the pattern is. There's no, you can't, it's, you know, when you recognize a pattern, you're not really thinking about it. So people playing board games, they often like will see a move because they're seeing a pattern, but they're not, it's not really explicit. So like someone playing Go couldn't explain to you why exactly they made the move. We see patterns in music, fashion, in architecture, in the stock market. There's patterns in yoga. There's patterns in nature, sexual intercourse, advertising. There's patterns in language. So language is like pattern recognition, right?
There's patterns in sexual intercourse?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean?
there are patterns in sexual intercourse. They're patterns of stimulation.
Okay.
That's why it's the old in and out.
Right.
It's repeating.
Right.
Right? And then it sort of has this pattern of intensifying, and then there's like this crescendo and a release. There's a structure to it, right?
Probably with positions too, right? There must be patterns of like,
yeah. So people tend to start in a certain position move to this position.
Yeah, like sequence.
And you will have a preferred sequence of sexual positions. Which has to be negotiated with your partner.
Yeah. So long, man.
Yeah. And then, you know, everything about it is a pattern, right? And, you know, music and intercourse have similarities in how they stimulate people because it's so rhythmic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're like AI.
So language is like a pattern recognition skill. And ambiguity in the pattern of language, I think, makes more room for like a bigger picture.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
So if you have very explicit words, it's not going to feel like if you try to make a really big picture statement, it's going to sound like really ambiguous, right? Because you're not describing detail. It becomes conceptual.
Yeah. Yeah. Tsukiko.
I wanted to mention they evaluated people and gave them what they call a beta value for pattern recognition.
Okay.
And they realized that there was high variation between people in this beta value. So if you have a high beta value, then you operate at a level of higher complexity and less errors, but at higher cost. Right? So your brain wants to simplify everything that you see. And we use language to do that. So if you look at a cup is a very complex geometric object. But the word cup really, you know, compresses that down into just what you need to know, which is it's a cup. And humans vary in their ability, or I guess their capacity, to think in a high beta way, which is an extreme example of that would be first principles thinking. First principles thinking is the most tedious way you could possibly think, because you make no assumptions. But reasoning by analogy is the simplest way to think. It's the lowest quality. This looks like something I've seen before, right? So that's pattern recognition. That's confirmation bias. Whereas first principles thinking is the opposite of that. It's assuming you don't know anything and you're not. It shuts off your confirmation bias if you think by first principles. But it's way more work. So conspiracy theories are sort of a cartoonish simplification of something that's actually very complicated.
Right.
Generally speaking. And this is partly why, because the world is so complicated, we're so reliant on our confirmation bias, because it's just too complicated. And so it's exceeded our capacity for a lot of people. So we resort to confirmation bias and reasoning by analogy, because we just don't have time to think about everything from scratch.
Yeah.
And then that combined with our algorithms and our social media it's compounding and creating a situation where people basically skew themselves. They self-select into a certain worldview. But it's a combination of those two main factors, I think. What do you think?
No, it's interesting. I mean, it's like people are more connected than ever, right, with the internet. So like I always say this, like I think every week I mention this, but I see people fighting on Twitter about Corona or some political stuff. And it's hard because 今までこうネットとかつながってなければさ、自分の家族とか会社の人とか直接つながりがある、まあ数十人、多くても数百人のことだけ考えればいいけど、now we're connected to, you know, thousands or tens of thousands of people. And what you write on Twitter, for example, can, you know, it goes to, I don't know, sometimes a million people. And it's really hard to think about each person who might read it, right? Like,
well, and each person has a different worldview,
exactly.
Like a different reality
exactly.
Inside their head, right?
Yeah,
based on what particular information they've come into contact with previously.
Yeah, so, you know, something that, like, for example, about a movie theater, you know, you can say, you know, we all want to go to a movie theater. Then if you say it in front of your family, it's not a big deal. But if you say it on Twitter, some people get offended. Like, oh, not all of us. Like, I can't afford it, or, you know, I can't physically go there. I don't know. It's just...
Well, Twitter only allows you just enough characters to be misunderstood.
Yeah.
And not enough people are going to read the second, third follow up.
Yeah.
Thread of tweet.
Yeah. So I guess humans are, I mean, I guess a lot of people feel like it's a requirement now to kind of think about all kinds of situations where each
like people
person,
situations?
Yeah. Like for other people. And that's kind of new, right? Like it can be totally outside of your community. or your family or the people that you actually right. know.
Mm-hmm. Is it a good thing or maybe it's not that clear?
I don't know if it's good or bad. I mean, it's good for the society, I guess, that everyone's kind of forced to think about other people.
What about this issue of people having a common understanding of reality? Because what I see is people believe all sorts of different things now, especially in the United States. People believe, you know, the Vatican Space Station or Dr. Fauci is trying to inject everyone with AIDS or who knows? Like,
oh my God.
There's crazy stuff. There's like this crazy YouTube video going around. I don't know if it's true. I haven't watched it. I don't have time. But it's unbelievable how competitive some of these memes are. And there's no authority from the fancy backdrop and the oak desk and the suit and the makeup and the official people that were on TV and had the official news. They don't have that pull on the internet. So all sorts of like people, you know, tell me like, hey, you need to check out this YouTube channel that has this, you know, about how the earth is shaped like a pyramid or something, you know?
Yeah.
And they believe this stuff. And so what I observe is that we're losing a common understanding about reality.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, can I read a quote from Terence McKenna, which I think summarizes what's going on?
Go ahead.
So he said, for some reason, a balkanization of epistemology is taking place. And what I mean by that is there is no longer a commonality of understanding. I mean, for some people, quantum physics provides the answers. Their next-door neighbor may look to the channeling of archangels with equal fervor. It is accompanied by a related phenomenon, which is technology, or the historical momentum of things. Is creating such a bewildering social milieu that the monkey mind cannot find a simple story, a simple creation myth or redemption myth to lay over the crazy contradictory patchwork of profane techno-consumerist, post-McLuhanist, electronic, pre-apocalyptic existence. And so into that dimension of anxiety created by this inability to parse reality rushes a bewildering variety of squirrely notions, epistemological cartoons, if you will. Conspiracy theory, in my humble opinion, is a kind of epistemological cartoon about reality. I mean, isn't it so simple to believe that things are run by the Greys, and that all we have to do is trade sufficient fetal tissue to them, and then we can solve our technological problems? Or isn't it comforting to believe that the Jews are behind everything, or the Communist Party, or the Catholic Church, or the Freemasons? Well, these are epistemological cartoons, you know. It is kindergarten in the art of amateur historiography. And I don't know when this was said. I think it was in the mid-90s, but maybe the late 90s. Mm. But it seems to encapsulate where I think things are, are heading.
Yeah, and it's crazy that it's already been said, and yet we're still going towards it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing we can do about that.
Yeah. If you took all the different realities from all the different human beings' minds and you laid them out on a table, are they diverging or are they converging, you know?
Yeah.
And what does that look like after like 100 years or a few hundred years? Like, you know, it's crazy.
It was probably always like this, right? It was just not really in our face like this with the internet, with YouTube and Twitter.
Well, I think like people can find what they like now, but you couldn't do that before.
Yeah, and people were not announcing it to the world either. Like, if you thought that the earth was, I don't know, in a pyramid shape, you would not be screaming it in the middle of the city, you know, to
Yeah.
So I guess we just didn't really know what your neighbors were thinking.
Well, I think secularization has something to do with it. In the old days, it's like, hey, we all believe in this God in this country. And that's how it is. And yeah, in some other place, they believe in some other God, but they're wrong. And everyone had that exact same system.
Yeah.
And it worked, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like, this is what we're all cool. We all believe this. Yeah, there are people somewhere else that believe something else, but they're wrong. And we can just sort of proceed. But now we're just comparing too much information.
Yeah.
And it's getting really messy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, it's like, so I was talking, so my husband listened to the episode with Nick. And, you know, I had different opinions from what Nick said. And, you know, we talked about it in the show. And, you know, I really liked that episode because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So my husband listened to it and he agrees with me, you know, and it feels like we have this little cult, this little religion in this household,
which excludes Nick.
Yeah. Nick is not part of this religion, obviously.
I'm with you, Nick.
But you know what I mean? It feels like this little cult where, you know, it's only me and my husband and we believe in the same thing.
Yeah, it's like family values or like family, should I say family business.
Yeah, and I don't know this cult developed and when it started developing.
But cult.
Yeah, but you know, like when it comes to guns or any like corona, all kinds of things, like we're not like trying to agree with each other. It's just we naturally agree with each other. And it really it is a relief, you know, to hear that he feels the same way about certain things. And he says something and I'm like, oh yeah, like that's exactly how I feel about it. And that's basically a religion.
I've had that experience where I was talking to one of my friends and we agreed so well that I got scared that we were like the same person. I was like, I like had a panic attack for a split second. I'm like, wait, are you me? Like
yeah.
You just read my mind so perfectly.
Yeah.
That it just like freaked me out.
It's weird. I mean, you and I, we talked to each other a lot, like hours, weekly.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I don't think we're on the same page for a lot of things, but it's not like we're in the same cult, which is good for the show. But you know what I mean? It's weird. Whoa. Sorry. my son tried to open the door and it was like a horror movie for a second. Let's go to the next topic.
Okay. Researchers at OpenAI have developed a neural net capable of creating high-fidelity music in various styles. This includes melody, rhythm, and compositions, as well as the tonal qualities of the instruments and singers. In addition to generating new songs in a particular genre, the model can also generate novel completions of existing songs and sing specific lyrics. The neural net was trained using a dataset of 1.2 million songs, half of which were in English, combined with lyrics and metadata from Lyric Wiki, which includes the artist name, genre, and year, as well as keywords associated with the song.
OpenAI の研究チームが高い再現度で様々なスタイルの音楽を作ることができるニューラルネットワーク、ジュークボックスを開発しました。これはメロディー、リズム、作詞のほか、楽器の音や歌手の声を含み、一曲丸ごとを作り出します。特定のジャンルで新しい歌を作ることに加え、既存の歌を新しく作り変えたり、特定の歌詞を使用することも可能です。このニューラルネットワークは120万曲のデータを使っており、その半分は英語で、リリックウィキから持ってきた歌詞、歌手名、ジャンル、年代、その歌に関連するキーワードを学習済みです。
Yep.
これ聞けてないんだけど、歌詞は読んだ。
I think I can play the audio.
Okay.
Should I try?
Yeah.
Hopefully this doesn't break everything. Okay, let me try.
歌詞はすごいありそうな感じだよね。
I think it's gonna play.
なんかわあこういうのあるみたいな感じの歌詞だったけど、私が読んだのはカントリーのやつだったかな。
うん、
でもいろいろあるんだよね。なんかケイティ・ペリー風とかカニエ・ウェスト風とか。
うん。
Are you open?
Well, I guess it doesn't want to play if I'm on the call with you. It was playing it before when I wasn't on the phone with you.
I can play it on. I can play it on my phone though.
Okay.
Or you could
do. Let me send you.
Or you could do that.
The link.
No, I have it here.
I have a Britney Spears one. Oh, do you have the Rick Astley one?
I want to listen to the Britney Spears one. What?
Okay.
Are you sending it to me? Mm-hmm. Or you can just play that on your phone.
I'm using my phone for the call.
Oh, so なんだ. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Are you sending it to my email?
To your Telegram.
Ah, okay. Ah, 来た。これをマイクに向かって流せばいいんでしょ。
そう。
どれ？ああ、本当だ。
Doesn't sound too janky.
ちょっと待って。How does this work? Oh, do I? Do I need to download SoundCloud? Oh no, listen in browser. Okay. Why?
What are your thoughts?
Why? どういうこと？え、怖いんだけど。
Does it sound like Britney Spears? It's kind of, it's pretty rough sounding, the files that it creates.
Yeah. I don't, okay.
I sent you the Rick Astley one. It should be more recognizable.
I don't know who that is, though.
It's the Never Gonna Give You Up.
Okay, I have it here.
Yes. Oh. You know this song, right? Everyone's getting Rickrolled right now.
Wait, so this was made by the neural network?
Mm-hmm. If you know the real song, this is like messing with your brain. We'll put a link to the so people can hear
there
a better quality.
There are so many.
There are a lot.
There's
and
so many that they made.
It's honestly like it's an incredible artistic tool, it seems like. Because like, I was listening to some of the Pink Floyd that the AI made.
Okay.
And I'm like, whoa. I like got goosebumps at one point. I'm like, wow. That moment right there was ridiculous. The rest of it was not that great. But there are real moments that sound amazing.
This is Ed Sheeran.
I'm assuming we can't get like struck.
Wait, so this is, like, is this an actual, wait, so how much of it is AI? I don't get it. So this is Ed Sheeran's voice? Or it's his voice
ish.
That, it's his voice that the network.
The best way to think about it is.
I don't get it.
Is projects. Neural net projects for image generation, for example, right?
Okay.
So we've looked at neural nets that generate images of things.
Mm.
So you'll tell it to make a bird, right?
Mm.
And it'll be really close, but there's weird artifacts and there's some parts that are off about it, right?
Mm.
And they used pretty much the same training philosophy.
Hmm.
or similar training philosophy for this. And so that voice somehow came out of that 1.2 million songs. It's somewhere in there.
Okay.
It could be, you know.
The lyrics are like, ありそうだけど、よく読むと変だね。
Well, like, it's, they give it the lyrics, and then the AI puts them where it thinks it's good.
Okay.
There's a real time, like a heat map, where this heat like floats around the different words.
Yeah.
Which show which words the AI is trying to say.
Okay.
And it comes up with stuff and says cryptic things.
Okay. Yeah, I'm reading this Ed Sheeran Who No lyrics, and it's kind of strange.
Mm. Yeah, so it kind of sounds like a demon wrapping its tentacles around.
Like, easy baby, maybe I'm a light. Before tonight, I want to fall in love and put your faith in my stomach. And for how long I've loved my lover. Like, not even put your faith in my stomach.
I don't know. Well, OpenAI also has the language generator, right?
Mm.
So they have a neural net that tries to predict what the next word will be.
The Lady Gaga one's really weird, too. Like, he tells me that he loves me, and even though I'm real sexy, he loves his car. He's always with his car. Why?
Makes sense. That sounds like a human wrote it.
And the chorus is, rub that glitter and grease around. Times, like, six.
I like it.
This is really weird.
So some of the lyrics, they're using real existing lyrics, and some of the lyrics are being created by the OpenAI language system.
Unseen it's lyrics. Really,
yeah, so they give it lyrics that it hasn't trained on before. But yeah, there's so much music there. It's really freaky. This is a whole new genre of music by itself. These researchers have created a new genre of music. I'm not sure I would listen to it that much.
Yeah.
Would you 普通に listen to this?
No.
Put it on? Heavy rote?
No, it's...
I like the Pink Floyd one. It's really good.
でもなんだろうね、ラジオとかでかかってて、バックグラウンドでかかってて、あんまり注意を払わずに聞いてたら、そんなに分かんないかもね。分かんないというか別に違和感ないよね。
There's a lot of mumbling of the lyrics. Like the AI does a lot of mumbling, like not saying the lyrics clearly. But if you're not listening closely, you can't really tell. It sounds familiar.
The Christina Aguilera one is a major mess. The lyrics don't make any sense.
Can we hear the, do you see another one that looks cool?
That looks cool. I don't know.
I like the Rick Astley one.
めちゃくちゃいっぱいあるんだよね。Tupac もあるし、Elton John, Prince.
Oh, let's hear the Tupac one.
Tupac one, いいよ。Tupac の自分、これとかなんだろう。これ言ってみる。始まるかな。
Oh, damn. Where did it rip this bass solo from? This is Tupac?
全然 Tupac じゃないじゃん。謎だね。でもいっぱい。
Oh, there was a Simon and Garfunkel one that's really good.
Okay.
I like that one.
Beyonce one.
Because Simon and Garfunkel have such a distinct sound, you know? And you don't get that Simon and Garfunkel sound except from... あ、タトゥーいらない。
めっちゃいろんな人ある。ラナ・デル・レイ、セリーン・ディオン、ボブ・ディラン、ケンドリック・ラマーもあるよ。まあちょっとね、興味ある人はこれ聞いたら楽しいと思う。めちゃくちゃいっぱいある。
They used what they call a discretization bottleneck. So they would take the WAV file and then they would encode it and then they would quantize it, which means sort of make it explicit. And then they created a code book. So they basically had three or four levels of trying to quantize and make the audio file something that the AI could understand and label with and do this code book lookup process for. And then they would use the code book for the decoding. And so through that process of encoding and then decoding, you get a different song. And they're not just doing that with one song, they're doing it with a lot.
Right.
But
it's weird. It's like Black Mirror episode.
And for the encoding process, they use some crazy software that other researchers had come up with. So this effort was actually, you know, just research on research on research, you know, and finally got to this point.
Wow.
So all this AI stuff is really collaborative. Because someone makes something and then someone else is like, oh, we can use that for this. We can try to do this with that. And this is the first time they've had AI make music that wasn't like really try to make music from the WAV file level. And before they were doing it with sort of with MIDI, like a MIDI, like piano roll. So it kind of started quantized. Where in this case, they're starting with audio. So you could actually take an audio recording of a live band and plug that in, which is different.
Strange AI music with strange lyrics. I like it when it's strange, but then I wouldn't listen to it.
Artists that like a certain style or like a certain sound can go in here, and I'll probably do this myself, and just sample some of these AI-produced songs and make a new beat from the sample.
Right? Yeah.
So we're going from humans, 1.2 million songs, bunch of humans, into an AI, which tries to predict the rest of a song, a popular song that already exists. You hear something you like, you just cut out that piece and then you remix that into a new song, and you can take the new song that was made with the sample from the AI and feed that song back into the AI.
Yeah.
And we can really get something going.
Because
we could be hearing this on the, you know, on TV, in the next time you go into the konbini. Could be some AI music.
It's weird. Creepy.
What have you been up to?
Raising
a child. Other than trying to get the microphone to work.
Yeah. そうだね。今回ちょっと始まる前にまたマイクがおかしかったから、そこですごいハッスルだったけど。
Now it's, I think, better than before. So.
Yeah.Yeah, I'm glad it was, I mean, it's working. I was kind of worried that we might not be able to record today, so.
There's so much stuff that happened in the last few weeks, I feel like.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Isn't Tom Cruise going to space?
Oh, yeah.
That's interesting.
I was wondering how that's gonna... I mean, how it works with Scientology. I thought the whole... story was that they are waiting for whoever aliens to save them, right? But if humans can travel,
I thought the aliens lived in a volcano or something.
What?
Or is that?
Oh.
Is that something
else?
I don't
know much about it. So I'm not sure, but I was just curious.
Yeah.
I mean, if Tom Cruise can go to Mars.
Is he the leader? Or is
he's
he just...
He's not the leader, but he might as well be, right?
But don't people inside the church say that Tom Cruise basically runs it? I mean, that's what I saw some...
I saw an interview,
I think, on Rogan with former
woman.
Scientologist.
Yeah, and I saw the documentary, too. And yeah, Tom Cruise actually has so much power. It's really creepy. They were like,
is there going to be a Scientology space station in the future? Oh, God. My God.
They were like, Tom Cruise can kill people and, you know, Scientologists would...
What?
Would help him, like, bury the bodies and stuff. Like, no issue. No issue whatsoever. Like, Tom Cruise is the God.
Is it for the greater good?
I don't know. I don't know about
like
that.
Do they think it's for the greater good? Like, they're not just evil, right?
Or they're just pressured into it.
Hmm. Wait,
it sounded
you're not saying that Tom Cruise is like rolling bodies.
No, but they said like, that there are a lot of people who would, because Tom Cruise has so much power in that community.
I thought you said they did already.
No.
Like, oh my God.
And like there are so many rules, right? Like, you can't look at him. You can't talk to him. Like, you can't look him in the eye.
No pictures?
Definitely no
pictures.
You
can't take a selfie with him?
No way. I don't know. It just sounded really crazy, but...
But that would be exciting, right? If Tom Cruise went to the International Space Station. I am curious whether Scientology has anything to do with it. How could they not?
How could they not? No way.
How could they not?
I'm sure it's completely... I mean, they're excited about it, too. But I don't know. I don't know anyone... Any Scientologist.
Yeah, I don't think I know anyone either.
I don't know how many... Is there any Scientologist person in Tokyo? I'm sure there are, right?
Are there any famous, like, celebrity Scientologists in Japan?
Not that I know of. It's not all that global, is it? I always thought it was... an American thing. But I don't know.
I'm sure they're here somewhere.
Mistaken.
You're going to get taken out. You're going to get rubbed out by Tom Cruise and his henchmen.
Tom Cruise makes me so confused. Like,
do you like Tom Cruise or not?
It's so confusing, right? Because he was so hot and he's so cute, and he can do a lot of things, very athletic, and he's so cool in movies. And in interviews and stuff, he's so smiley, and he seems so friendly and nice. It's so confusing.
He's charismatic.
I don't know what to think.
He's the perfect cult leader.
I know. That's why it's scary, you know?
He's so good at being a cult leader.
Yeah.
If that's what he is.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, I gotta go.
People believe crazier stuff.
I gotta go switch with my husband because he's gonna have a phone conference soon.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So, Moji Okoshi no tekisto wa Bilingual News 公式アプリ Android, Mac, iPhone, iPad からゲットできますので試してみてください。毎週各エピソードごとに宿題を出しているのでそちらもやってみてください。いろんなリスニングとか、文法単語いろんなやつがある問題がある。あと英語表現解説エッセイも出しているので、そちらも文字起こしと合わせて読んでみてください。
Yep.
あ、そうこの間ねそのエッセイでオーディオ付きのやつを初めての試みとして出したらちょっとバグってしまって、一旦取り下げたんだけど、なのであれ急になくなったと思ってびっくりした人もいるかもしれないんですけど、すいません、ちょっと直ったらもう一回アップしますのでお楽しみに。
Yep.
All right. おしまい。
はい。
バイ。
以上です。バイ。